conversation by calling 724-283-2525. And now, let's join It's Your Turn and today's special guest host.
And good afternoon. Tracy Morgan back with you. Of course, yes, Dave is off for another day, so you and I get to spend this next hour together, which is going to be fun because, you know, yesterday how we started out our day with a recipe because we're so close to the holidays. I just wanted to talk about food a little bit. And so I went around the office and I said, hey, do you have something special that's just in your family? And so I got Lisa Marie that's going to be joining me here in just a couple of minutes. And she's going to talk about something that's in her family that's just unique to what they do. Is it traditional? Some, yes, some, no. She'll explain. I'll let her do it here in just a minute. So hang on for that. And then actually the bulk of what we're going to do in the next hour is going to be with our Joint Chief, Chris Watala. Butler Township, Butler City Fire Departments, as they're joining together. And actually, I had him in, and he's going to be in, to talk about holiday decorations, safety issues, heater issues. But I know I'm going to make sure that we get to talk about the update that is happening between the township and the city and all that is going on there. So that's our hour together. So first we're talking holiday recipes, somebody in-house here, and then Joint Chief Chris Watala will be in, and we'll be talking about safety and the winter months and, of course, the update with the city and the township. Before we do take a break, just want to remind you, if you're out shopping or if you're going to be thinking about heading out very soon to make sure you pick up a few things, think about the Hang Tough stocking stuffer effort that we have, because this is a stocking that you get. You can pick whatever stocking you want. You can go wherever you want to buy it. And then you buy items to go in the stocking. And we are one of the drop-off points for this because this is going to benefit local cancer patients. And we are going to accept these donations all the way through December 4th. So there's plenty of time to do it, but if you're like me and I'm reminding you now, then you got to go do it now. That's just how I am. If I don't write it down, it doesn't get done. So I'm reminding you now. So if you go out and get, oh, I don't know, you want to get small books, do you want to get chapstick, hand lotion, gift cards are always good. Because what if the folks have to be the one to drive themselves, or what if they have somebody else drive them? Then that's always a nice thing to be able to put in that stocking that could help them out. So again, this is the Hang Tough stockings. You can stuff them with love and care and just some great items to benefit local cancer patients. Again, we are a drop-off point for this, but there are other drop-off locations like Schneider's One Hour Heating and Air Conditioning. You got Headlines of Hair Concepts, the Law Office of Dillon, McCandless, King, Coulter, and Graham. They're a drop-off point. Say drop-off five times fast. Valencia Donut, Accurate Solutions Group. You got Robert Stevens Custom Jewelers. You got State Representative Marcy Mostello's office in on this, the Double Image Styling Salon. So all different locations where you can go and drop off one of these stockings that you stuff yourself, you get all the items, and then drop it off. Now, if you're wanting additional ideas of what you could put in the stocking, go to our parent company's website, butlerradio.com. You're going to see the banner right there on top of the homepage that talks about the Hang Tough effort. You'll see a heart there. Of course, you'll see a stocking. Click on that, and you're going to see pictures of us getting ready for the delivery, if you will, of these stockings. And then you can see all the different drop-off locations, and you can see the items that we have suggested that you could put in these stockings. So always a great idea, always a great opportunity to help someone who just needs to put a smile on their face. And so this is a way that you can do that during the holiday season. So again, that's butlerradio.com, and you can look for Hang Tough. All right, so we're going to take a quick break. Lisa Marie will be back in here with me in just a moment talking about food, holiday traditions for her family. And then we're going to go ahead and talk with Joint Chief Chris Watala a little bit later in the hour. I'm Tracy Morgan in for Dave Malarkey with It's Your Turn.
From great breakfast specials to hosting holiday parties, Michael's Restaurant is the place to be in Butler County. Start your day with a satisfying breakfast, then begin planning a holiday party at Michael's. They have a party room for approximately 20 people for Christmas parties or family get-togethers. Call today to reserve your date. Pumpkin pies and apple dumplings are now available.
The Jones Turkey Farm still has plenty of turkeys available for your Thanksgiving table. Jones Turkey Farm in Cabot has delicious, all-natural, free-roaming turkeys and chickens to make your Thanksgiving meal extra special this year. Their birds are handled with extreme care and are specifically fed non-GMO grain and are preservative and additive-free. Buy your turkey frozen today or get it fresh right before the big holiday meal. Call the Jones Turkey Farm at 724-352-2450 or visit JonesTurkeyFarm.com. The Jones Turkey Farm in Cabot, quite simply the best. And also frozen sweet corn available this year.
In today's fast-paced world, our lives get a whole lot easier when we trust experts. We trust people who know what they're doing. And when it comes to shipping, I trust Cullen Postal Butler. They're right off Newcastle Road on Shockey Lane, right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants. It's easy, too. I just cruise on back. Go say hello to the friendly folks inside, and they package my items for shipping. And that saves me a whole lot of time from trying to wrap my item, trying to find the right size box or the bubble wrap or the mailing labels. With Gowan Postal Butler, I know they provide quality service. They've got great prices. Most importantly, they are trustworthy. So I know that my package will go where I need it to go. That's Gowan Postal Butler, 140 Shockey Lane in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex, your friendly neighborhood shipping store, Gowan Postal Butler.
Thinking about remodeling or refinancing your home? ARMCO Credit Union's new HELOC combines the flexibility of a traditional home equity line of credit with the low fixed rate of a home equity loan. Lock in different amounts, rates, and terms up to 20 years under one convenient loan agreement and monthly payment without the hassle of reapplying as your borrowing needs change. It's never been easier to join. So call or visit us at one of our locations or online at armcocu.com to become a member. ARMCO Credit Union is an equal housing lender and is federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome back. Tracy Morgan in for Dave Malarkey. All right, we are talking recipes, 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 because we're that close to the holidays. And, you know, sometimes I like our traditions, our favorites, and the must-haves. But then sometimes I look at these recipes and I'm thinking, how did you do that? I wouldn't have even thought of that. And so that's why I wanted to bring up a couple of recipes. I know we did this with Tyler yesterday, so we're doing it again today. And right now we have Lisa Marie, who's in our office. And so, you know, we're talking with Lisa here in just a minute about recipes. And I know, you know, there can be some really fabulous recipes out there that are like professionally made and professionally put together. And then there are some that I don't know if we could even duplicate, because the pinch of that is different from household to household. You know, you just dump this in and then it all mixes together and poof, there it goes. But what I wanted to do with us in-house here is talk about those recipes that are generational, I guess. Is that how you would say it, Lisa?
The unique ones that we just kind of in our families go, oh, I never knew you made
passed
that.
Passed down from generation to generation.
Right. And so Lisa Marie is in our office. I know we talked to Tyler yesterday in our office. Lisa, you don't really get to see too much unless you're a business, because you're in the sales end of things.
Right.
So Lisa, it's fun to have you in. Welcome to our world here in the studio.
Well, it's nice to be on this end.
I talked to you the other day off the air and I thought, oh, you need to tell me what uniqueness that you have during your holidays, because you told me something very specific. What do you call it? Do you have a name for the dish?
Well, this dish is, it's just real quick, my grandmother is from Damascus, Syria. So my mom is second generation. So when we do our regular holiday things, you know, traditional meals for, you know, ham for Easter and Christmas and things like that, we also do stuffed grape leaves.
Okay.
And you know, so that's really what the name is. I'm not sure what the actual, if there's a Syrian word for
we
it,
do,
but.
You know, we do the same thing with the pineapple. We call it pineapple stuff.
Right.
I have no idea what the official name of it is. It's just called pineapple stuff.
It is
house.
What it is. And it's
right.
Grape leaves in our house.
Right.
I would assume that that's what it is,
that's
pretty much anywhere
it.
Else.
And all right. So this is something that your mom has made forever, right?
Yeah. My grandma. My grandma, my aunts, my uncles, but my mom, she always does the traditional holiday meal, you know, with all the fixins. But then also we do stuffed grape leaves. lamb and a basmati and pinoli nut rice that has like cumin and garlic. And that is a typical Syrian meal with your pita bread and everything else. So we have a little bit of everything. So we kind of always, it's now a natural thing for us to be like, oh, okay.
If you didn't have it, it wouldn't be the holiday.
Right, we're going to have turkey and mashed potatoes and stuffing and all of that. But also, there's going to be stuffed grape leaves and, she doesn't make lamb all the time, but, you know, she might make kibbeh or Syrian salad with the homemade pita.
Now, the reason I wanted to talk recipes, and I know that just by hearing these recipes, we're not going to pick it out just like that. But if it's something we want to look into,
absolutely,
we can look things up online, of course, ask Alexa. But I just wanted to give some folks ideas of what different people do cook for their holidays. So tell me what's in this or what do we need to buy? Are there any ingredients you're not going to tell? Is it a family secret?
if I tell you,
I have to, that's it.
I can't divulge all the secrets, but grape leaves grow on a grapevine. So if you can't get, fresh off the vine leaves, and they're actually leaves, and they look just like a giant maple leaf, but it's a grape leaf.
Are they as big as a plate, like a small plate?
Yeah, they'll grow, some of them will be the size of a palm of your hand, and some of them will, quite large, so maybe like two hands put together, and that's what the usual size is. And they also come, you can go to Giant Eagle in like the Market District and things like that, specialty stores. They also come in a jar. So they're in a brine, so they've already been, softened and things like that. So you can get them, in the off season, so to speak.
Okay, all right.
You can buy them at the store.
Okay,
the actual grape leaves. The traditional way is to make it with ground lamb. You can also use ground beef, white rice, a long grain rice. So you boil the rice, you saute your beef or your lamb in garlic, cumin, lots of lemon, salt and pepper, just those seasonings and butter. And you mix the rice and the meat mixture together, lots of lemon, lots of butter, lots of garlic and cumin.
Do you usually use real cloves of garlic, or do you use the shaky garlic? The garlic that's already cut up. I use cloves,
right?
We use
cloves a lot, and sometimes you don't have it. You make something. We eat like this all the time, so therefore it's not just a special occasion. As a matter of fact, my mom just made grape leaves just the other day, yesterday. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to bring some in. If you ever had one, I'll bring some in for you. But that's it. Yeah. Clove garlic or shaky garlic. So it could be anything. Cumin is the real thing. You don't need to overdo it with the garlic, because the lemon and the cumin will bring out the, kill the gaminess of the lamb, and then also help soften the leaves.
Okay.
And then you roll your mixture almost like if you're making meatloaf. You mix the rice and the meat together, the meat will be raw. So when you mix the rice together, and then you can cook it, you roll it into your leaf, and almost like a cigar. That's what it'll look like.
I was going to say, what's the secret of keeping it together? Is it just the makeup of the leaf? Will it just allow it to stay closed?
It's a tuck and fold. So, you almost... you can tell I'm Italian too.
Yeah,
so I use my, if you can see that I'm using my hands to try to show you on the radio how to do this.
So you tuck the corners.
And roll it like a burrito or anything. And then when you layer them in your pot, like a sauce pot, you layer them down on top of of the leaves. Sometimes you'll get some leaves that are broken. They're not really good. You lay that layer of that down in the pot first with some water. Then you just stack them up, and then you pack them tight into your pot.
Okay.
Fill it with water and lots of lemon. Then you put. We always do it this way. I don't know if there is a proper kitchen utensil, but we do a plate on top of the actual grape leaves, and then we fill a jar of water and stick it on top, because we want to hold the pressure down.
Oh,
so that way, as they cook, they don't open up. And that's how you were saying about, how do you keep them folded? It's the way you put them into your pot. So depending upon how many grape leaves, you do your size of pot
accordingly. So you need them tight.
Right, you need them tight. Then you put something, you know, weighted something down on your on top of them, and that way it holds them together as they cook. And then once the meat and everything cooks, it holds the leaf in.
How long is the cooking process? Are we talking an hour, a couple, or like 8
hours?
Oh, yeah.
Not 8 hours. Okay. Even if you're using fresh leaves, it takes a little longer because they're not brined, so the leaves are not as soft as if you would use a jarred leaf. I would say probably a good hour or two.
You said a pot, so am I picturing this right on stovetop?
Stovetop,
pot, yep. Small or
well, yeah, like
low
a
flame.
Yeah,
or
low
burner,
to low, yeah, low to medium heat, and then you know it's supposed to simmer. So you know, like a you know, not a rolling boil, you know, but so it'll simmer. You know, once there, and then you keep the lemon is the key. Lemons. So if we make a sauce pot, I would say, I don't know what the quart size is,
right.
You know, of it, we probably use at least a dozen lemons.
And
then
wow.
Yeah, and then you
cut them up so
cut
the juice
up,
can get out there?
The juice, yeah, you squeeze the juice in. You know, we use a lemon juicer, you know what I mean? We get the lemon in the pulp and then cut some of the rinds. And you put them in there while you're boiling. So you put them in with the, and you can layer them in, you know, a couple of lemon rinds on top of each layer. Almost like if you're building a lasagna, you know, like one layer of grape leaves, then some a couple of lemons and another layer. And so you build it up until your pot is full, and then you put the plate on it and weight it down to hold it in. But the process of it cooking with just that amount of water and the lemon will soften the leaves.
Well, they puff up. It's just softening.
Yeah, no, they don't.
You know
puff
how
up
dough
or,
will puff up.
Yeah,
and
no. This
size.
Is an actual. So you probably have no experience eating leaves, do you, Tracy?
No. And so this is my. That's why I wanted to have you on because
right.
To me, it's not something that I.
Yeah.
Well, I say typically, I've never made anything with leaves. I'm not even a cabbage person. You
right.
Know? So it's like.
Right.
So
what do you think about lettuce? Or fresh spinach, and you've had that.
I've got
so
those,
it's
but cooking them the way that you're cooking them.
Right.
See, my curiosity gets the best of me, and I know that there are certain things that I do bake that once they're in the oven, don't open the oven
because
it could take that cooking process out.
Right.
So is that the same when you're talking about having that plate with the water
yes.
on top? So I can't peek. I can't.
Oh yeah, you can peek. I mean, well, yeah, and you know what? A lot of the times we don't even put because there's a jar on top of it, weighting that plate down, like you know, a saucer or whatever fits in there, just to hold down some pressure and hold them, you know, pack them tightly a little bit. So because when they're cooking with the you know the boiling and the water and the lemon, you don't want anything that's floating in water is going to open up. That's not. So that's why you use the pressure in the plate to
right.
try to keep it all together.
And
I wouldn't want to
ruin that process.
Right.
So.
You don't want to ruin the process. It'll still taste good, but it won't. The consistency.
The
right. It'd almost be like if you were to stir a pot of stuffed cabbage.
Right.
all the stuffing would come out.
And we make raviolis and we home make them. And that came from my husband's side.
Right.
And I learned their process and how. So we still do that. But there are so many times we still say, oh, that one popped open. And now you have, I don't want to say a mess, but you know,
oh,
yeah, it's
right,
all over
right.
The place
yeah,
in
now
the
ricotta is out. Exactly.
Versus them being
that's
closed
exactly.
and tight.
And sometimes, you know, as the cooking, no matter what, no matter how perfect you try to do it, you'll have one that opens
right.
up. You'll have one that's softer than the other.
Right.
But we do – my father-in-law has grapevines. My grandma and her family, like that's – you know, that's – we always went out and picked leaves. And you can even freeze the leaves too. And we do – yeah.
Okay.
So we'd use our little vacuum sealer and you can actually freeze fresh leaves and things like that. So we prefer them fresh.
I need you to cook or teach me how to cook – in a class, we'll call it like cooking with leaves. How's that? Can we do it? Can you teach me? Just me?
Well, absolutely.
I can
totally.
You do this.
You know what? And it's when I first started dating my husband, and he had grape leaves for the first time. He was mortified.
Oh.
He was like, "What? I'm going to eat a leaf?" And it literally. I mean, it's a leaf. It's a leaf. It looks like a leaf on the tree. If you didn't know the difference, you wouldn't know. You know what I mean? So.
Well,
and
Lisa, thank you for coming in and sharing your recipe, your family recipe, holiday recipe. I know there's more to it.
There's more to it, but you can look it up, and you know, I'm sure that there's different variations of recipes And but right. That's the basic.
Love it. Lisa Marie in our sales department here with Butler Radio for the just the taste of home, if you will, of what's in her house. Thank you again, Lisa. Happy holidays to you.
You as well, Tracy. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. And folks, just give us a minute or two. We're going to come back here. And actually, we're going to be switching conversations. We're going to be switching topics. We're going to be joined with Joint Chief Chris Swatala of the fire departments that have been joined together with the Butler City Department and Butler Township. We're going to be talking about fire safety, and we're going to be talking about the holidays, and he's going to give us an update on that progression of what's been happening between the township and also the city for fire departments. We'll talk about chimney fires as well. So all of that is coming up. We'll be back right after this break. I'm Tracy Morgan, in for Dave Malarkey with It's Your Turn with WISR 680 AM.
Like it or not, winter is coming. Not to worry, West End Tire and Service has over 400 snow tires in stock for cars and light-duty trucks. They also sell tires for large trucks, trailers, heavy equipment, skid loaders, backhoes, and more. With a vast selection of Cooper tires, West End Tire and Service prides itself on offering the same great installation and service as Siemens provided for years. Plus, they have the same great staff, too. Call 724-287-6973 or stop by West End Tire Service today, West Cunningham Street in Butler.
In 2019, Tri-River celebrates 25 years as your Butler neighbor, providing exceptional musculoskeletal care in the community.
Hi, I'm Dr. Tom Mazzanegro, known by many as Dr. Muzzy, and I'm an orthopedic hip and knee surgeon. Patients do best when they are engaged with the process, educated, and invested in their own well-being. At Tri-Rivers, the patient is at the center of everything we do.
To learn more or to schedule an appointment, visit TriRiversMSK.com or call 1-866-874-7483.
Here's a gift idea for somebody special on your holiday gift list. How about a gift certificate from Butler Motor Tours? They'd be glad to help you out. You can get a gift certificate for any particular amount, and then you can give it to grandma or a special person on your list. They can decide where they'd like to go and use your gift certificate toward the cost of their trip. So they decide where they want to go. You help them get there. Butler Motor Tours, a local company. They're on South Monroe Street in Butler. You know, they've been taking folks from our area to places near and far for over 75 years. Give them a call or stop in. They'll be glad to help you out with a holiday gift certificate. Butler Motor Tours. Check them out online for some of their trip offerings. Their website is easy to remember. It's butlerbus.com. butlerbus.com. Butler Motor Tours, gift ideas for the holidays. Butler Motor Tours online at butlerbus.com.
Well, good afternoon. All right, Tracy Morgan back in for Dave Malarkey. Of course, Dave out for a couple of days, so it's you and me for the rest of the afternoon. We're going to go ahead with Joint Chief Chris Swatala right now, talking about the fire safety tips for the holidays, your heaters, decorations. And then we're going to talk a little bit about the update that's been happening between Butler Township and Butler City. Hence, that's why we call him Joint Chief, Chris Swatala. So, Chief, thanks for coming in today. It's nice to talk to you.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, and always when you're in, I know you may leave.
Yes.
Very important role. So, if the, you know, sounders go off, we know that you're busy. But thank you for taking a few minutes for this. We do appreciate it.
Thank you.
So I wanted to talk about holiday things first, because we are on that verge of the holidays. And since we already had one kind of a big weather event, you know, happen, even though it was for just an evening and into the next day. We're talking cold temperatures and that snow that hit last week and hit around that rush hour time. I wanted to talk to you about the space heaters that people mm-hmm. are using. Are we using them safely? What do you see that people are doing that you wish you could tell us beforehand to prevent any kind of disaster?
Sure. There is a slight uptick in home fires during the holiday season. A lot of them are due to cooking, but another big reason is the portable heaters. And particularly, it's a leading cause of fires among older adults. And so there's a couple just common sense precautionary measures to take. First is just making sure that you have adequate clearance around your space heater. You'd like to have at least 3 feet clearance between the heater and any nearby combustibles. The problem that people have is they put them too close to their chair, too close to their bed, and then it could catch that bedding or the upholstery on fire. So having adequate space and clearance is very important. Some of the other issues that can happen, and they're alleviated some by some of the newer technology with heaters, and that's why we recommend, particularly if you are going to use a space heater, that you use one that's a more recent one. Don't go using one that's like 30, 40 years old, because it won't have some of these built-in safety features. And when you do go to purchase one, we ask that you look to verify that they do have some of these safety features built in. And the big one is a tip-over sensor. So that way, if it is accidentally tipped over, either by yourself or by a pet, that with that tip-over sensor, that will shut the heater off. We've had fires where they've been tipped over and then the heating element's still on, then starts catching the carpeting on fire underneath. So the tip over sensor is very important. The other one that they have is an overheat sensor. So that way, if it is too close to some other combustibles and it does start to overheat, that will shut down the heater as well to help prevent that fire. So having those safety features on the space heater are important, and it is worth getting a newer one. And if you have an old one that doesn't have those built-in features for it.
I usually joke around with people who are in when we're talking about technology, and as I want to ask you this question, I'm thinking maybe this is out there. I don't know. Are space heaters talking to us yet? I mean, do they have verbal controls on them yet? Because it just seems like everything that we have in our house now is vocally controlled.
Mm-hmm. I'm not aware of any right now, but I know there is a large movement in with the smart appliances, because there's even with like your oven or your stove at home,
right,
that you can, if you determine, you can see if you inadvertently left it on or something like that, and you can shut that off remotely from an app on your phone.
Did you say the heaters have a timer, or I want to ask you about that. Do any heaters have timers where if they reach a certain temperature, or if they, like you said, they do tip over, you know, they would shut off, but is there any kind of time control?
Not that I'm aware of. For there are ones with temperature control. There may be some with time control, but I'm not sure 100% on that. But there definitely are ones that do have thermostats in them that you can set them to a particular temperature, and then they'll shut down once they hit that point.
Now, I just wanted to get some safety tips from you, but as you're talking and knowing what you do, of course, as being the joint fire chief here with the city and the township, how do you trace a fire back if it happens to be this is the cause? Let's say it does tip over, it catches the carpet on fire and continues. Of course, we don't want to see a tragedy happen, but how do you, as a team or your investigative team, how do they trace that back that it was actually the heater?
It takes a while, and sometimes it takes multiple parties involved, such as when you're dealing with an appliance, we might also have to partner with the insurance company's fire investigator to utilize some of their resources, because they'll have access to like electrical engineers and some x-ray equipment and things like that that we don't have, that can help look specifically at the appliance to see if it was a failure. But in general, the way we typically investigate a fire is we'll start and just do a complete survey around the whole building, and then we just keep working our way in from like the area of the least damage to typically the area of the greatest damage. And then we have to be able to explain with the science all the different burn patterns that we see on how the fire progressed. There might be something that might give you an indication that it looks like this might be where the area of origin is for the fire, but it's actually just due to a drop down from, say, the curtains catching on fire and then dropping down from their curtain rod as they burn through, that makes it look like it's a low point of ignition on the floor there. So we have to be able to kind of piece it together through witness interviews to describe what the room looked like beforehand, as well as the physical burn patterns that we see. And then once we get back to that area of origin, then we'll look for any remnants of what's there. Wiring will usually be around as a remnant, and we can put together then what might have been there. And as I mentioned, when we get to a appliance fire, typically then we'll leave that there for the insurance company, if the building is insured, to send in an investigator, because if it is an appliance failure, they may subrogate the damages and go after that manufacturer. So they'll bring in their resources to look at it. And as I said, they might have some equipment or an electrical engineer that can specifically look at all the wiring to see if it was something internally that failed. Even if the controls are burned off on what the settings were or whether the on-off switch was completely burned off, they can tell through an X-ray whether the contacts are there to tell whether it was on or off and things like that.
So it's intriguing. I just find it intriguing in what you do. I'll put myself, of course, because I've never been a firefighter, never really get to see what you all do. And it takes so much expertise and experience to be able to understand what it is that you're looking at. Mm-hmm. So I just find it intriguing. So I appreciate that you explain that. Because, yeah, I watch Chicago Fire. And everything's wrapped up in an hour, right? But mm-hmm. It's not in your case. And it takes a while to be able to go through this.
And there's some things, particularly like with the space heaters, where and this is true with a lot of appliances, where they're heavy amperage draw appliances. So they're drawing a lot of electrical current through the wires. Wiring is designed to be stretched out, not covered, so it dissipates that heat into the environment. Some of the other problems that can happen is that people will cover those cords up with a little area rug or something like that, and it's not allowing that heat to dissipate. And something as simple as that could then lead to an overheat of that wiring and cause that teeter break down the insulation and cause an electrical failure, or just overheat and eventually smolder and lead to that piece of carpeting catching off fire.
And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you before, but when you talked about those extension cords, and what should we plug the heater into? Should it be straight into the wall? Should it be into an extension cord? And then my second question is, if you have anything, and we'll get to decorations here in a moment, when you plug so much into an extension cord, what happens there? But let me ask about the mm-hmm. heater first. What should it go into?
Sure. The heaters, particularly this, it's actually code for in commercial buildings that any type of portable space heater has to be plugged directly into a wall outlet. It can't be plugged into a power strip. It can't be plugged into an extension cord. So that's code in a commercial building. So that's something when we do our fire inspections, if we know this, that in an office setting, that we can write up as a violation and make them plug it directly into a wall outlet. So that same safety measure would be recommended in homes as well. So it should be plugged directly into a wall outlet and not have to use a power strip or an extension cord.
We're talking about the space heater. So
correct,
yeah. So if
heaters.
Folks, you're just joining us, we're talking about the space heater specifically right now.
And a lot of the manufacturers, even if you read the directions for the space heater, and a lot of times there'll be tags even right on the wiring for the space heater to plug it in that says it must be plugged directly into a wall outlet.
Yeah, Chris Otala is here, the Joint Chief for Butler Township and the city as well. And I appreciate you talking about space heaters, but because we are going into the holidays, since we're talking about plugging things into those strips and multiple plugs everywhere, let's talk about the decorations for mm-hmm. a moment, because do you typically see that as a problem when we go into the holidays, or do you see that as a problem throughout the year that there are too many plugs in the strips?
It's generally that's throughout the whole year. That we'll see if there is an electrical issue like that there that might be an overload from too many things being plugged into extension cords or power strips. Because particularly when you have a surge-protected power strip, you now take it from one to five or six outlets. And if you plug that all in and then you have a bunch of other surge-protected power strips on that same circuit, then that can lead to an overload. Particularly, you're going to be using it around something that's going to be with your TV and DVD and all those other things, or game systems where you need all those things plugged in one particular area of your home. So that's something that we see all year, but obviously it can become more prevalent in the holidays. And typically with around the holidays, where we run into the issues is a lot of times people are just using regular extension cords, what we call unfused extension cords. So there's no way it doesn't have the surge protection or an overcurrent protection to it.
Is it thicker?
The overcurrent protection is just, it's kind of like another level of safety. It's kind of like a built-in circuit breaker within that surge-protected power strip, where if you just have a cheaper, lighter gauge extension cord, it's not going to have that feature. And so when you're taking a lighter gauge wire and then plugging multiple things into it, again, you can run into that overheat issue that I mentioned, that from the electrical current passing through, it could just overheat that wire too much by having too much current plugged in or running through it, because right. You have too many things plugged in.
So if we're going to buy one of those heavier gauges, are we looking for a certain number and above or below? How do you describe that? Or are they color coded? Because I see the orange, the green, the blue, or does it not matter the color?
Yeah,
of
you could just tell, it's usually by the thickness of the wire. And so the thicker the extension cord, the more heavy, or they'll just be marked as heavy duty.
Okay.
That those would be more recommended, that they can handle a heavier or larger amount of current passing
right.
through.
Let me ask you again whether this has to do with decorations or not, but when you, again, describe the strip, and I'm, you know, imagining all these cords, and I remember going towards, and we'll talk about the gaming area, because mm-hmm. I got two boys, right, and they're down there gaming, and they had something plugged into something else where I grabbed the cord, and I thought, this isn't covered, but I could feel the warmth in that cord.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, this isn't good, so of course I unplugged it. Is it okay that cords get warm, or is that a sign that something's going on?
No, there'll be some amount of warmth that will be generated through the normal operation, and it's just then when you have that excess that it becomes a problem. But and if it does get warm, though, just through normal operation, again, it's supposed to be designed to dissipate into the air. So if you have it covered up with, you know, in a kid's room, say, playing with their Xbox or PlayStation, and they have it, the wiring covered up with a pile of clothes or something mm-hmm. like that, then you're not allowing that to dissipate. That's yeah. then where it can be a problem.
Anything else in the way of a warning or some advice about the decorations, the trees, the wreaths, outside lights?
Sure. There's a couple things. There's fires involving Christmas trees aren't very frequent, but when they do happen, they are very deadly because the fire just accelerates so quickly. Usually it's a dried out Christmas tree that will cause a problem, and it can just, there's videos online that you can see that's put out through the United States Fire Administration that show a Christmas tree just in a matter of less than 10 seconds becoming fully involved and then starting a large fire within a room. So it's something that when they do happen, it spreads so quickly that they can become tragic and deadly. And I remember there was one incident department responded to. This is probably about 20 years ago now, that the individual thought to try to, instead of just throwing out their live Christmas tree at the end of the holiday season, that they were going to feed it into their fireplace and let it burn.
Into the fireplace in their house.
Correct.
Wow.
And they thought that they could just feed it in a little bit at a time as it burned and just let it burn in the fireplace. Well, it was dried out, and as soon as they started feeding it in, it started the whole tree on fire.
Oh, wow.
And then spread to the living room and became a significant house fire.
And I'm going to ask this because where I live, you know, we have our big fire pit with rocks around, you know, so we have all that safety. We've had pine trees come down, so we just, you know, try to chop them up and burn. It feels hotter to me when there's mm-hmm. a pine burning versus an oak or a maple. Do pines burn at a hotter temperature?
That I'm not sure of. I know the different woods can burn and give off different amount of heats, but I'm not exactly sure on that. And it all depends, too, sometimes on how dry the wood is and everything else, whether there's sap in it and things like that. That might also be a factor.
Those needles go up quickly, though, especially when they're dry.
That's the problem is when they're dry. And you'll see those if you go online and see some of those videos that the United States Fire Administration put out with some demonstration fires involving that. It's pretty spectacular. But again, it's something that's rare, but when it does happen, it becomes very tragic because they are such fast-moving fires. As far as the other decorations being involved in fires, it's a little bit better now in terms of the LED lighting that's out there, that's, you know, they're cool to the touch, so they're not as much of a problem. But you still have to follow the guidelines if you do read the fine print on things, that it will say only plug in up to 3 or 4 strands together.
Sure.
You know, so we obviously recommend that you follow those instructions. But where you can run into problems is some of the older decorations that you may have. I know just last year, after cleaning out my father's house when he was moving, and I took some of the old decorations that we had from growing up, and I plugged in a decoration that was probably 45, 50 years old, and when I did, it, you know, the bulbs exploded on it because of the old wiring.
Right.
And so that's what you have to watch is when you might have some decorations that are, you know, passed down through the family, and they're the older type bulbs that obviously get hot, and then you have some of the wiring that over the years, when you're talking decades old, that wiring can be, the insulation on it can become cracked.
So it worked for a millisecond.
Yeah.
That was it.
I thought, thank God I tried it out beforehand because I wanted to put it in my daughter's room.
Right.
I'm like, oh, I always had this decoration in my room growing up. I wanted to pass it on to my daughter.
Right.
And
we all
had
that,
out.
Right.
It just popped.
It was done.
Please
it was no longer.
Yeah, inspect any old decorations that you may have because that can be an issue for sure.
Joint Chief Chris Watala with us, of course, Joint Chief between Butler Township and Butler City. And I want to ask you while I have you before we get into the updates and the changes with the township and the city together, but a chimney fire, since we are going into the holidays, how do you know, especially from the exterior, I'll tell you my story and why I'm asking this, how do you know that it's a chimney fire versus somebody burning wood? And the reason I say that is we weren't even in the county at the time, but my husband and I were driving along, and he called 911 because he looked over and he said, that's a chimney fire. And I just, you know, and he was right, and they came and, you know, they took care of it, we left. But at the same time, I thought, how do you know, is it the color of smoke? How do you know?
Typically, when there is an active fire in the flue, you'll either see flickers of flame or embers actually blowing out of the top of the chimney mixed in with the smoke. And that's an indication. When you're in your home, there's two type of fires that typically can occur when using your fireplace. The one is an actual fire inside the flue in the chimney. And that, when it happens, if you're inside the home, you'll be able to hear it because it sounds like a freight train kind of roaring in the wall. And so you'll know that something's wrong. On the outside, again, it may just look like a larger volume of smoke, but usually you'll see when that happens, it's burning some of that creosote buildup that's in the flue off, and it's kind of burning in some bigger chunks that are kind of blown out of the top of the
chimney. Is it darker? Is it like a grayer smoke? Or?
It will be will tend to be a darker smoke.
Okay.
Usually if you're burning dry wood, it's going to be, you know, more a lighter density, whitish smoke. And if it's an active fire burning, particularly that creosote, it's going to burn like oil. It's going to have a heavy carbon content, and it's going to have that blacker color to it.
Can a chimney fire start well after a fire has been put out? Does it heat up and just retain the heat?
The flue fires, not so much. The flue fires, as I said, when it starts, it's that usually that's from the creosote buildup within the flue from not having either your chimney cleaned frequently enough or depending on what you're burning. If you're not burning nice, dry, aged wood, if you're burning something that has a higher tar content or is not as dry, then it can leave those deposits in that chimney and in that flue more heavily, in which case you would need to get it cleaned out more frequently. But the other problem that can happen is that it will cause a fire inside the wall around the fireplace. And so typically that's where you have either there's a couple things that can happen. It's just over time, there's gaps in the mortar that will develop in the fireplace just due to the typical expansion and contraction from the heat and cooling cycles from using the fireplace. Again, something that can happen over a period of years or decades. And then you'll have some of those pieces of mortar fall out between the fire bricks. And if it creates a gap, then the heat from the fireplace can start to dry out some of the structural wood that may be behind there. And again, it might take years and years and years before it finally happens. But as that wood dries out, it lowers its ignition temperature. And then it finally hits a point where the heat is enough to ignite that wood behind the wall or behind the fire brick just because it lowered its ignition temperature enough from drying it out so much over the years. So then you'll have a fire in the wall around the fireplace. And so that's the other issue that we see with chimney fires is that it's actually due to gaps in the mortar created over time, just not maintaining that over time, that then it allows the structural wood behind to heat up, and then we get a fire around the mantle or in the wall adjacent to the fireplace. So,
not only am I glad that you're here just talking about this today, but I love hearing you talk just because it just is a huge reminder of, again, I kind of said this a few minutes ago, of how much you all know and you have to know in order to do your job. I think, again, us in the public appreciate you come and you do your job and we can clap, but boy, we don't really understand what it takes to be in your shoes.
Yeah, there's a lot more than just squirting water
right.
on the flames.
Right.
There's a lot of science behind some the things that we do. There's been a big push in research in how fires spread and so that's changed some of our tactics, some of the way that we're doing things, and it's just stuff that you get that knowledge over the years.
Right, and the amount of weight that you're carrying going into those fires. I was able to put on an outfit once, you know, and they said, hey, would you like to try it on? I said, yeah, I would like to understand what you're doing. Boy, that's a lot of weight.
Mm-hmm.
That is a lot of weight that you're carrying. And then I didn't even have the equipment on. I just had the suit or the outfit, the uniform on. So it just very interesting. Anyway, Joint Chief Chris Vitale here talking about fire safety, heaters, and decorations. Since you're here, Chief, I want to ask you a couple questions, just the generic questions of how is this going? Because, of course, we're now moving into a different phase for Butler City and Butler Township, and the two departments rolling in together as one.
Mm-hmm.
We are officially calling you the Joint Chief, so you know your position has been solidified. Where are we in the process with the two departments working together?
Sure. We did a presentation a couple months back now on partnering between the city and the township fire departments. The township is a volunteer fire department and the city is a paid department. So the advantage of the paid department is you have staffing there 24 hours a day. So we can usually, even though it may be a farther travel distance, because we're getting out the door right away because we have our crew in-house, that we found that there's areas of Butler Township that we're able to get there before the volunteer fire department can get there. So it just provides a guaranteed response. Every volunteer department in the area is struggling with manpower because there's a declining number of volunteers throughout the country, and in particularly throughout the state, because Pennsylvania has been heavily reliant on volunteer firefighters. So at one time there was over 300,000 volunteer firefighters in Pennsylvania. Now it's down to under 38,000.
Is there a reason? I'm sure that's a bigger conversation than what we can talk about here in this moment, but what's the general overall reason?
Just general change in society, less volunteerism in general. There's greater time requirements for being a firefighter. In terms of all the training that's required for us to operate safely. So just adding those in with people, you know, trying to manage all their family commitments and everything else, mm-hmm. it's difficult for people to find sufficient amount of time to volunteer. So
my own personal opinion is you all should get paid, every single one of you in any department that you're working in. Do you think that could be a possibility down the road someday, that for all in any township, county, state, that you could get paid?
Well, typically you'll see a progression where they start out as volunteer fire departments, and then as call volume increases, as volunteerism may decline some, you hit a tipping point then where you have to start putting in some paid staff. Now, a lot of departments will survive as what's called a combination system, where you have a core group of full-time firefighters to provide that round-the-clock staffing, and then you supplement it with the volunteer firefighters that you do have for when you do have a more significant fire to get extra manpower. And by doing that, that's a little more cost effective than having an all career force. And so that's kind of what we're trying to do between the city and the township, because, you know, the city has the all career force. Township is all volunteer. The township is, in my mind, approaching that tipping point where they're running about 800 fire calls a year, which is a large number for a volunteer fire department to cover on an all-volunteer basis. Typically, once you hit about 250 calls a year and start going above that, then it's your turnout per call just starts declining, because you're calling out the volunteers so much. They're getting called
out. They're tired. They have jobs.
Two, three times a day, that's a lot. And with their full-time jobs and everything, you're just not getting a reliable response. So the idea is to have that core group of paid staff that's on around the clock to provide initial response and cover a lot of those minor calls. So then that way we're only paging out volunteers whenever we truly need them, a large number on the more significant calls, the more significant accidents and structure fires. And that's the approach then that we're taking with this partnership that we're trying to form between the city and the township, where there's some areas of the township where we're covering those minor calls now for the township where they're not even getting dispatched. So that way we lower that call volume, so we're not burning out the volunteers by calling them so often. We're taking up some of the slack with the minor calls, so that way they're not being bothered with those. And then that way when they do get the page that they know this is something serious, we need we need to turn out, we need a large manpower pool there. And so through this partnership, we're then providing that core staffing round the clock through the city, and then we have the volunteer pool from the township to provide that larger manpower pool on the significant incidents.
Now, again, this is Butler City, Butler Township. Is there any opportunities in the future for you to partner with any of the other townships? I ask that, but knowing what you're describing, I could see you going to Butler Township and easily trying to get there before the township, not trying to, but you know, that opportunity would be there to help out. But if there's a fire in South Butler, Worthington, you know, I mean, that's a big distance for you to have to go.
Sure.
So what's the future hold to you, or...
I think the idea is what we're doing is we'll be setting up a framework that it can expand. So if other municipalities down the road would like to join in, that it can expand out, and we could be able to have this system and have that benefit where essentially we're a functional combination system. We're not merged as one organization, but we're functionally operating like that combination system by providing that core staff from the paid department. And that can be regionalized. And I see that happening down the road throughout the different areas of Pennsylvania, because the volunteer firefighter shortage is not going away.
And we cannot not have you.
Correct.
I mean,
so something
essential
is going to need to be done. And for some smaller communities, it just doesn't make economic sense that they can afford to have paid firefighters on around the clock for a smaller community that has a limited number of calls. But if they partner with other communities, then they can pull their resources together and then have a core paid staff that can then cover those communities and still maintain their volunteer organizations to come out
right.
as needed.
Then. Let me squeeze in just a minute because I know we asked you for a certain amount of time and you're staying a couple mm-hmm. minutes extra. I do appreciate that. For the township and city, how long do you think it'll take before everything's finalized?
It's probably going to take into next year for sure. We're at the point now where we did the presentation of the concept, starting discussions. There's already been a lot of ongoing discussions between the township volunteer department and the city department, and now we're involving all the elected officials to then move to the next step to start formalizing some agreements on the partnership. And so hopefully within next year we can get all those ironed out and make this formal and define the arrangement going forward. But functionally, we've already been doing a lot of the things that we've proposed. We're already working together on structure fires and motor vehicle accidents in certain areas of the township where the city is automatically dispatched with the township. The township is with the city not having a ladder truck, the township is already dispatched for a ladder truck to come into the city on any reported structure fires as well. So that partnership is already there and functioning. We're just expanding it more and more as we
right.
go.
Any kind of feedback that you can share? I know in a process it's not quite complete, so mm-hmm. there might be different feedback once it's complete. But any feedback you can share with us, whether it's department-wise or from the community?
I think that in general, when I look at the data, it's showing improvement because we're getting a guaranteed response that's there. So, as I mentioned earlier, that the response time to some areas of the township was approximately 9 minutes with a volunteer force because they have to respond from home and then respond from the station to the incident, where even though the city may be it might be another mile or two distance because we're already at the station and be able to get out the door quick. We've found that the areas of the township that we're working with, we're actually getting there within 7 minutes. So it's improved response times to areas of the township by doing this approach. So I think when you look at the data, I think it speaks for itself that this is the way that things need to go.
Right.
And so hopefully throughout the next year, we'll just work out the system more and more.
Joint Chief, Fire Chief Chris Watala with Butler Township in the city of Butler. Any final thoughts you want to leave with us? I know we started off talking about holiday safety. Mm-hmm. So just as we're going into the holiday season, what would you like to leave with us?
The last thing I'd like to say is just about candle fires, because that's another issue that we do have in the holiday season, even more so than some of the things that might be due to the electrical wiring from decorations. And what I've found with some of the candle fires is, again, people aren't looking at the fine print on things, and they're buying some of these candles that are in candle holders, and you actually, if you read the fine print on the bottom of it, it says do not use for more than 3 hours at a time or 4 hours at a time in constant use.
My surprise look tells you I didn't read the bottom of my candle, right?
We've had incidents where those candle holders have failed just because people light them around the holidays and let them go all day, and then that candle holder fails and then starts a fire. So again, it's those little details need to keep an eye on. And also with candles, just like with cooking, we recommend, when you're in the room, it's fine to use the candles. When you're leaving the room, blow them out. Just like when you leave the kitchen, we recommend you turn off the stove burners so you're not leaving things unattended. Same with candles. Candles can be easily tipped over by pets, and that has caused fires. And so they're safe to use, provided you're keeping a good eye on them while you're in the room.
Same kind of suggestion for those wax melts. Those candle melts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
So just keep an eye on them as well. Joint Chief Chris Watala, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate the extra time you gave to us today.
Sure, no problem. Thank you for the opportunity.
And have a good holiday. Thank you very much.
You too.
All right, folks, that is about it for us for the day. We will be back again tomorrow together as Dave is off for another day. Thank you so much for joining me today. Enjoy your afternoon, and we'll do it all again tomorrow. With WISR 680 AM. You can always listen to us online, by the way, at WISR680.com. You can listen to us on your Alexa-powered device.
You can also listen to us on the radio, and of course there is the free app that you would download to your phone, and you can listen to us on your smartphone as you are mobile. But again, thank you very much. Have a wonderful day. I'm Tracy Morgan, in for Dave Malarkey with WISR 680 AM.
Applewood Chiropractic has wellness plans designed to assist with treatment and preventative care and include 6 bioimpedance analyses per year to help with wellness and fitness goals. Plus, you'll receive discounts on services and supplements like laser therapy or hemp extract oil. And some insurance companies may even cover your wellness plan with unlimited fitness center use. For details, call 724-283-0518. Applewood Chiropractic Health and Fitness Center, Thornapple Drive in Butler.
Tobacco for Less is perfect if you like to think big. Tobacco for Less is Western Pennsylvania's largest glass emporium, which has hundreds of glass pipes, a custom walk-in humidor stocked with a huge selection of cigars, and a 19-foot vape juice bar. They're always stocked with standard tobacco products, and their health and wellness department maintains a wide selection of CBD products. Tobacco for Less is always expanding and adding to their product lines. Be sure to check out their Sharon location that has just added a large health and wellness department. Stop by one of their locations in Butler, Sharon, or Aliquippa for all your smoking and vaping needs.
The Spencer D. Geibel Funeral Home and Cremation Services, located at 140 Newcastle Road. It's about halfway up Newcastle Hill, just down from the State Police Barracks. This is the Butler area's newest funeral home, Spencer D. Geibel Funeral Home, the first and only value-designed funeral home built specifically for that purpose. A funeral home that offers styles, types, and levels of service that others are not able or willing to offer. They can transfer all prearranged funeral services and policies as well. It's an entirely new idea. It's local. And there's a hometown gentleman running the operation, Spencer D. Geibel. Spencer D. Geibel Funeral Home and Cremation Services, 140 Newcastle Road in Butler. Not affiliated with any other funeral home.
Concordia Visiting Nurses has resources for patients who struggle with a serious illness. Visit cvnpalliativecare.org. An online educational website designed to help the seriously ill and their families to live as comfortably as possible while still receiving curative care. This free educational website offers practical tips and information. Choose Concordia Visiting Nurses.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 1230 to 130, right here on WISR 680.
Just yesterday morning, they let me know you were gone. Susie